All right, and welcome to Fast Break Breakfast NBA Podcast. My name is Keith, here by myself for a solo and interview episode about a team I greatly underestimated this season, the Milwaukee Bucks. John and Chuck will be back later this week for a full episode of jokes and giggles and NBA talk. But today's episode, all about the Milwaukee Bucks with repeat guest Ty Windisch, talking about Giannis and Jabari and my boy Chris Middleton. We recorded this interview before the Bucks lost to the Hawks, a loss that Ty was anticipating, but I don't think he or anyone else in Wisconsin cares, thanks to the wondrous leg of Mason Crosby. Anyway, I will stay in my lane. Also, a humble breakfast in a bed apology. Once again, having audio issues when I'm using Skype and GarageBand. I don't know if there's an Apple issue or I'm still working on it. I thought it had been fixed, but the popping came back again. Hopefully most of you won't notice, but those audio files out there, I'm sorry, I'm working on it. Hope it doesn't bother you too much. Before we get to the interview, I want to remind our Nashville listeners, this is your last reminder, January 18th, Wednesday night, we're having a watch party at Edley's East for the Grizzlies-Wizards game. So if you are in the Nashville area, come on out for the Grizzlies watch party on Wednesday, January 18 at 6 p.m. My guest today is the host of the very good Time Out with Ty podcast, and he is officially the co-site expert at Behind the Buck Pass, a Milwaukee Bucks blog, and a friend of the show, Mr. Ty Windisch. How are you doing, Ty?
I'm good. You nailed the intro, my weird title, everything. I'm happy. I ate breakfast this morning, so I'm ready to go. I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Tell us about your breakfast.
It was a good one, man. I had to get up and do an article real quick, but my dad was on the job today, so I woke up to pancakes and bacon.
Ooh.
And I had some blackberries too. Here's the sad part though, is he had poured out some orange juice. Turned out the orange juice was bad. I didn't try it. He tried it. He was like, hey, don't drink the orange juice. So it was almost perfect. The orange juice fiasco knocked it down a notch, but I had coffee, so it ended up okay.
Well, the orange juice fiasco actually could have been worse. I mean, you could have had the orange juice.
Drank it. Yeah,
and then
he took the bullet there for sure.
Yeah. So, you know, that's not bad at all. Well, we're recording this on Sunday morning before a Green Bay Packers playoff game, which I kind of forgot that the NFL, I do watch the NFL, but when I'm scheduling things, I forget that, you know, they're important to people in other cities, not Nashville. Where?
Yeah, I scheduled like four things for today, like podcasts, whatever, like social things. And then I realized there was this Packers game that literally was probably going to shut down Wisconsin from 3 till 6 or whenever. So it's been a little bit of a hectic couple days here for me trying to replan things and realize like, oh yeah, I can't do anything at that time. Cause it's like, it'll be too loud in this house for me to do a podcast during that time, even if I didn't watch the game.
Right.
And Packer fans are nuts.
Yeah, I'd assume you want to also give it maybe your full attention. But we're also recording this before a pretty big basketball game, relatively. The Bucks are playing the Hawks on Sunday in what could be a preview of the 4-5 Banished to NBA TV series, possibly. Who knows? But it is an interesting game to me because these are two teams that are, in my estimation, very close to each other as far as quality. And they're two teams that are maybe, I don't know, like 11th, 12th, 13th best somewhere in the NBA. So I'm curious, ahead of this game, how are you feeling about the Bucks so far?
I'm feeling good. I might even call them like 10th best in the NBA. I think they might be better than people think. They're just inconsistent, which really is something you have to kind of expect. I mean, the best two players here are Giannis Antetokounmpo. I really want to like stress people learning how to say and spell his name now, because it's actually probably costing him some all-star votes, and he'll start anyway. But we're to the point now where I'm not calling you out, by the way. This is just a general thing while I'm here. Let's all learn how to say Giannis's name. It's not impossible. It's four syllables, last name. It's not crazy. And Jabari Parker, though, those are the best two players. You know, Giannis is 22, I think. Jabari's 21 years old right now. Giannis might have just turned 23. I'm not positive. But they're young is the point. And Chris Middleton's still out. He hasn't played a single game this year yet. It's going to be inconsistent. They're not going to be ready to be title contenders right now. But sometimes they're really good. Like, I was at the game on Friday against the Heat. They dropped 42 points in the first quarter. The ball movement was crazy. I mean, you look at this bench. It's a really good bench. Greg Monroe should be up for sixth man of the year. He's been fantastic this season. There's a lot of good things going on. It's hard not to be excited, especially when you consider, like, this is the start of the Bucks being good. It's not like this is 2 years ago where Brandon Knight and Jared Dudley and all these guys just, like, catch fire and have a great first half and they make the playoffs. The key guys to this playoff run are guys that you hopefully will be here for a decade. So it's really, really exciting. And I'm trying not to get too pumped about – not pumped, but too, like – I'm trying to keep my expectations for this season sane, because there's a lot of people like, you know, they should have home field. They should – I've seen people say they should make the Eastern Conference Finals. It's too early for that. You can't expect that. There's a lot of good teams in the East, even if the West is better. I just like to see the growth and the improvement, and they got to make the playoffs this season. It looks like that's not even in doubt at all anymore. I mean, anything could happen, but it's been a great start to the season, though, for sure.
Yeah, I will say, maybe to slow you down, using the Heat as your measuring stick for being good, you know.
That's true. That's like, hey, Rodney McGruber can play,
yeah,
man.
Yeah. You talked a lot about the expectations, about how you're trying to keep expectations in check. The Bucks are really interesting to me because they are one of the few teams. I actually was looking at my preseason predictions, and I'm pretty proud of them, except for, there's a handful of exceptions, and the Bucks are definitely one. I thought the Bucks were going to be terrible this year. When we had you on over the summer doing our preseason preview of the Bucks, you were very optimistic, and I thought you were kind of starry-eyed. I don't know. I thought like Ty, this team was terrible, and you guys didn't really add anyone but Dellavedova. And, you know, then Middleton went out. I'm like, this is going to be a train wreck. But I honestly never imagined, and I even said it. I was briefly listening. I was jumping through that show we did earlier this morning, catching up. And I still feel this way. Like, or I remember that I felt this way. I did not think that Giannis Antetokounmpo. See, I get mixed up. Is it Antetokounmpo? Because that's harder to say, or Anteta.
It's weird because I'm almost positive, and I've been studying because I want to get it exactly right. It's easy to get close. I'm almost positive it's Antetokounmpo. So it's like not really how it's
spelled.
See,
that throws me off. Not a professional speaker. I get lost when I try to do, if I've moved around, I need the Anteta like to launch me into the rest, even though I'm saying maybe the consonants incorrectly. But anyway.
I mean, luckily you don't have to say that one too much. Like, if you can just like sort of rattle it off quick at the beginning, like Giannis Antetokounmpo. I said it way wrong there. I messed that one up. But then after there, you can just say Giannis. Right. Like, everyone, there's not another Giannis that's that important. Like, everyone knows what Giannis is.
And I have just recently switched over to Giannis and not Giannis. So
yeah, there you go. That's a good. That caught a lot of people for a while.
I mean, there's still some people who cover the NBA professionally who say Nowitzki, and I'm. Yeah. Certain that's incorrect, but anyway, yeah. Doesn't really matter. But as I was saying, Giannis, I did not think that he could be the best player on a good team. I thought coming into this year, his ceiling was going to be like super hype man, wingman, you know, like second best player. And I was totally wrong. Like, he has been so good this year. He made such another leap from becoming like a super athletic, taller Nick Batum to becoming now, as this phrase everyone is bandied about in the NBA, a unicorn. He's become his own thing.
Yeah, that Bill Simmons piece had me so excited. I didn't expect this either, to be honest. I didn't think he'd be this good. There was like the post All-Star break, he ran the floor and he got all the like the triple doubles and stuff, and you thought, oh my God, like he could be like really good. But just the level he's played at this year is even beyond that. And the assist numbers aren't as high, which I'm not super worried about, because it's sort of been good for the Bucks because they've been moving the ball as a team a lot better, which is important. Like, that's how the Spurs do it too. They never really have a guy with too many assists. I think the Bucks, I haven't checked in a day or two. They were tied third in the NBA in assists per game, which is one of, if you look at it, those teams up there at the top are all pretty much great teams. Or not great teams, but they're all winning teams. Like the Warriors are ahead by a mile. They've led the NBA for the last few seasons. The Hawks in their 60-win year had a ton of assists. Like, it just shows that you're scoring the ball and you're probably scoring it real efficiently. But Giannis himself, just, he does everything. I mean, I think he still leads the team in all the main five statistics. Right now, Delly's tied with him in assists, it looks like. But you look at averaging 23.2 points, 8.8 rebounds, 5.6 assists, 1.8 steals, and 2 blocks per game is just ridiculous. You know, shooting 53% from the field. His three hasn't really developed still. It's a little better. He's almost at 30%. But even without it, and you look at maybe he gets it someday, maybe he doesn't. I've talked to people who are on both sides of the fence thinking maybe he will, maybe he won't. I'm not even real worried about it anymore. I mean, if he can do this without it, I'm not going to sit here and go, oh, imagine if he could shoot it. Like, he can do – he can – did you see the double-clutch dunk against Miami?
I did see the double-clutch dunk.
I was there, and I was watching the video the next day, and I was still like, is this a trick? Is this now you see me three? Like, what's going on here? That can't be real. Like, I've never seen – he faked a dunk, then faked a pass, and then just dunked it anyway. Like, how do you even think that fast while you're in midair?
I'm curious what you think about the Giannis highlight truthers, the ones pointing out the number of travels per Giannis highlight.
First off, I don't see many, if any, travels when I watch these things. People still don't know what the gather step is. You basically get 3 steps with the gather step. Like, you can take a step while you're gathering the dribble, and then you get 2 steps. So that's an important rule people should know about when watching any highlights, not just Giannis highlights.
I agree.
But I think part of it really is that it's just – it is unbelievable. Like, I think Scott Brooks, it was before the Bucks played the Wizards earlier, he said he was watching the highlights, and he was like, I was certain it was a travel because he, you know, picked up his dribble at the three-point line, and I watched it, and it wasn't. And it's just like no one's used to seeing a guy do something like that. Like, just pick up the dribble wherever. I'm waiting for him to do it from half court next. It's getting ridiculous. But from the 3-point line and just getting to the rim, nobody else can do that. So I just think people aren't ready for it, and they just try to explain it away. I think whenever a new star sort of develops, teams want to shoot it down and like not really believe. Like, I had to stop myself from doing this with Joel Embiid. Earlier, I was like, oh, he's not that good. Like, you know, sample size, all this. I sat back. I was like, what am I talking about? This dude's phenomenal. Yeah. Like, this dude's great. Like, you can't argue against this dude. So you just got to enjoy it. I think that's really where it comes from. Teams are like worried. Like, I know Knicks fans are super worried about all these guys because, you know, they're like, oh, no, Porzingis is the best one. You know, Joel Embiid, you know, not that good. When he plays 4 minutes, he'll be worse, which makes no sense. Giannis, he travels every time. Like, it's just we're all worried. We all have low team self-esteems after being bad forever. And so we try to, like, you know, poke holes in other people's unicorns. But no, I mean, those three guys are all great. And Giannis does not travel on most or if maybe even all of his highlight dunks.
I will say the Miami Heat dunk, it's absolutely a travel. But I understand, like you're saying, because the gather step is so tough for these referees, especially when Giannis, like, there's no rule how many steps you can take in between every dribble. So, yeah. You know, like, Giannis dribbles and he's flying down the court. It only takes him one dribble to cover half the court. So he does the one dribble and then he does the gather step. And then the referees are like, oh, he's going to do something. And then he kind of takes a few more once he gathers. And then it's like, you know what? I'm just going to dunk this. So I think if we slowed it down to some really slow frame rate, we would see, yeah, it might have been 5-6 steps. But I have compassion towards the refs of, like, there's no way to see, like, he's flying on the court so fast, and then he picks the ball up, and then it's like, oh, he just dunked it. Well, I missed it. No worries. And again, I'm not a huge highlight truther. I don't care much, especially on fast breaks.
I think there's sort of an unwritten rule too, and we completely have to agree to disagree. I will never say that there was a travel on that or any other Giannis highlight dunk unless the refs call it. That being said, I think there is sort of an unwritten rule, like, you get away with things the rawer what you do is. So, like, that was a super raw dunk, so you can kind of get away with things. Like, who was it, LeBron, who hung on a rim for, like, 20 minutes? Was that, like, Christmas game or something? Like, someone, I think it was LeBron, like, just hung on a rim forever. And they didn't tee him up. And it was like, well, of course, I mean, he just destroyed their souls. He's allowed to do that after you do that. Like, if if it's, like, someone dunking when they're down 20 and they're not really important, you're going to get teed up for that. But if that's LeBron doing that to, like, come back and beat the Warriors, you know, you can do anything. It doesn't matter at that point. Like, you get away with so much more. I think that rule is starting to apply to Giannis a little bit.
That sounds good. And we here at Fast Break Breakfast, our team get rid of the hanging on the rim technical. No one cares.
Get rid of taunting. Get rid of all of it. Let's have
let's have fun. You mentioned the team assists, how the Bucks are doing so well on team assists. And that's amazing to me because the team still lacks shooters. You think of all these other teams who are up there and assist. It's because a lot of the times, if they're not assisting on layups, they're kicking it out to good shooters who they've created good shots. So that's an impressive thing for me with the Bucks. And also equally impressive to me is that right now, as we record this, they're eighth in the NBA in offensive efficiency. Their offensive rating, eighth in the league, and this is after being 26th, I think, the last three seasons. So what is it about this team that has gotten them for the first time, you know, in a really long time to being in the top half, top 10 in the league in offense?
Well, most of it is they finally got the shooters. I mean, that's the thing. Last year, there weren't too many shooters. This season, the only guy besides the three centers, and only two of those guys really play, who can't shoot is Giannis. And he's still nearly 30%, but we'll say he can't shoot. Like, Jabari's up to 42%.
And that's
now,
just amazing.
Which is... Yeah, that's worrying for a lot. I don't know if you were one of the people who commented on that or like retweeted that or whatever, but that I just tweeted that in Jabari Parker NBA vote, and that's still getting retweets today. Like, people are like, oh my God, like, oh, it's really good to see that from him. I mean, he's becoming a monster in his own right. But you look at other guys like Tony Snell, 35%, that's decent. Dele's actually struggled. He's at like 32.7%. But otherwise, I mean, Brogdon's 42%, Mirza Teletovic 37%, Jason Terry somehow still pretty decent, maybe even good, 40%, Michael Beasley 47% on hardly any attempts. Those are most of the guys that they have shooting. Thon's 55%, but he's got, you know, all of 16 games and probably like 80 minutes played. They finally got the shooters as part of it. The other part of it is everyone's going to shoot a higher percentage with Giannis on the floor, because the other team is so worried about him. I mean, you have to send two guys, sometimes three guys, to try to stop him from doing those insane highlight drives. All of a sudden, people are open, and he just really has to get the ball to someone. They've done good in moving the ball more after the first pass. Like, last season, it felt like Giannis drives, kicks the ball, that guy shoots. Now it'll be Giannis or even Dele drives, kicks the ball out. You know, the help defense goes to that guy, and then someone else is open, they get him the ball. They really did a good job against that in Miami. I think there were 11 first quarter assists, and they were just flinging the ball all over and finding the open, the really open guy. What's the saying? Passing up good shots for great shots. So I think part of it is they got more shooters. Part of it is Jabari is shooting pretty well now. But I think the biggest thing is Giannis just makes shooters look better. It's the LeBron thing. Like, Dele shot 40% like 3 years in a row playing with LeBron because he's got such a gravitational pull. It gives everybody else open looks. I mean, Kyle Korver's going to feast there. Giannis isn't on LeBron's level, but it's the same general concept. Like, defenses have to worry about him and overcompensate. So suddenly, you know, Tony Snell is by himself for 20 minutes wide open, ready to shoot that three. It's a lot easier to make those than it is when the defense is able to creep out and just not worry about it. That's part of the reason why it was such a good idea to jettison MCW and bring in someone who could shoot in his stead. Because when he, Jabari, and Giannis were on the floor last season, it was really tough for the Bucks to score.
Yeah, and I know Bulls fans are kicking themselves that Giannis has turned Tony Snell into like a useful, valuable rotation player.
60% from two. It's insane.
I saw that. Yeah, I actually saw that this morning looking at Basketball Reference that he was shooting 60% on two-pointers. And he is it's a small percentage of his shots because he is focusing on those three-pointers. But still, yeah, he's been a reclamation project thanks to Mr. Antetokounmpo.
Yeah, it's been fun to watch Tony Snell. I really like Tony Snell because he's one of those guys who just a complete professional. You know, he looks pretty serious all the time. But I kind of like guys. Like, it's good to have some guys like that, you know, just sort of like tone things down, keep it steady. He's got really long arms. I forget what his wingspan is, but it's crazy for how tall he is. He's a good rebounder, and that helps the Bucks a lot too. But just really his defense, his three-point shooting, his rebounding, he's going to be good for them even when Middleton comes back. And I think this would be the silver lining of that injury. Part of it is Giannis and Jabari learning how to run the team by themselves. Part of it is I don't think they make that trade if Middleton's healthy. Now, if they can re-sign Snell for something reasonable going forward, that's a good bench wing to have for this team, you know, a couple years from now.
You mentioned, we talked about also Malcolm Brogdon hitting his shots, and he's been, as a rookie, I think he was the 36th pick maybe. Like, he's a second-round pick. He's come in. He's been great. He's a guy who, when I watch him shoot, I'm nervous. Like, I don't feel like his, I'm not a scout or anything, but I feel like his form looks kind of funny, but he's
been so low. That's what it is. Like, his shot does not go up at all.
But he's also a guy where, as a Grizzlies fan and knowing the Grizzlies need a backup point guard, and seeing that the Grizzlies took Wade Baldwin, who I know is 5 years younger, I think, than Malcolm Brogdon. But still, they took him and Deontay Davis and Roddy Zagorac all before Malcolm Brogdon. Kind of has me scratching my head, like, I kind of wish he was on our team. But what can you say about what Brogdon's done since he has started, you know, playing and been moved into the starting lineup?
It's been ridiculous. Before anything else, I have to give a quick shout out to Lucas Harkins. I think his ad is at Hardwired Lucas, something like that. He in the preseason was talking about, maybe Brogdon will be up for rookie of the year. And I was like, you're crazy. Like, I don't even know if we can publish this. Like, that's that, come on. I mean, he might be good, but he's a second round pick. Lo and behold, he's been by far the best player in his draft class. Embiid's going to get rookie of the year, but Brogdon, if Embiid had played last year, Brogdon would be your rookie of the year.
Brogdon gets the real rookie of the year. Actually an NBA rookie.
Yeah, well, I mean, at the same time, though, he's probably older than Embiid. Like, he's 24 years old. He's 5 years in college. I think he redshirted a year and played all four. I think this is going to lead to more guys like this being drafted earlier, which is probably a good thing, because he just came in completely polished. Like, they call him the president. His teammates invented that when he was at Virginia. I kind of brought it over to the Bucks fan base. I get no credit for that, by the way. Shout out me. But Brogdon's been fantastic.
Well, I don't know if you know this, but the president is going to have historically low approval ratings in a couple of days. So, I don't know if Brogdon still wants, but that's neither here or there.
Well, that one will. This one's got real high approval ratings in Milwaukee so far. He's been really good. The thing about Brogdon is everyone's going to notice his shooting, and he's good. He's a good distributor. Because, I mean, just Bucks fans are obsessed with spacing now after not having it for a few years. So any guy who can shoot, they're like, ooh, this guy's amazing. He can shoot. Brogdon actually is amazing. He also gets to the rim really, really well. That was something, especially against Miami. You know, they have a lot of replacement or sub-replacement level players right now. But against Goran Dragic, who's not a terrific defender or anything, but he is an NBA caliber player, obviously, he just got to the rim, it seemed like, whenever he wanted. And that's really, to be able to shoot threes and get to the rim and pass the ball. I mean, he's kind of the total package already, and it already is relative. He's 24. He's older than Giannis or Jabari are. But, I mean, the team's going to – he might start from here on out. Like, it was Dele's job. Right now they play some minutes together, but even though Dele's been back, he was injured. That's why Brogdon got to start in the first place. Dele's been back. Brogdon still started. And he's just been too damn good to not. I mean, the per-game numbers aren't crazy. It's 9 points, almost 4 assists, almost 3 rebounds. But he brings so much to this team. And he's just really good. Like, he does all the little things well. He's always in the right position on defense. It's really fun to watch him because he doesn't take missteps. I'm all in on Team Brogdon, Team President. He won't win Rookie of the Year, but he's really, really good.
Greg Monroe is a guy who's made himself incredibly useful to this Bucks team. You mentioned earlier that he should be in the conversation for sixth man of the year. In the offseason, it looked like the Bucks were going to try to dump him or just get rid of him completely. And now he's become, he averages the most minutes off the bench for any of the Bucks centers, or just most minutes of any of the centers they have playing off the bench. And it looks like he's a part of every positive Bucks lineup combination. So now, do you think he has ingrained himself into this team where he will be a part of the future going forward?
I hope so. I wrote this article earlier this season because there was talk. There was a report that came out that said Milwaukee still wanted to trade him. And like the next day I wrote this piece, basically that if they trade Greg Monroe, they'll tank, not necessarily on purpose, like they're trying to tank, but the team will just tank itself. He is that important to this team. He's the only center who's been able to do positive things for most of the year. The big thing with him is, honestly, compared to old Greg Monroe, he looks kind of bad on offense. He's still shooting 52% and scoring 10 points per game, almost 11. But he misses a lot of kind of easy shots, which is a little frustrating at times. I know it is for him. It is to watch as well. The big thing for him is his defense has been phenomenal. He's been getting a lot of steals. He leads bench players in steals, I think. He's at 1.3 per game right now. Just really, really active hands. His effort level is way higher than it was last season. Like, he's everywhere. I was at that Heat game. Every time there was a fast break, he was the first one down the floor. Like, Giannis has the ball, you look to the left, Greg Monroe's under the rim already. And you're like, how did he get there so fast? He slimmed down. He runs all the time. He's got active hands. He's really focused on just being the best bench player he can be and bringing energy. And I think starting is a little overrated. I think sometimes you need to look at the closing lineups. And if it's a close game, I guarantee you, you're going to see Malcolm Brogdon, Tony Snell, Giannis Jabari, and then probably Greg Monroe. Sometimes Beasley sneaks in there because he's been good. But Greg Monroe has just been really good. He's been clutch, good on offense, good on defense. He's been the team's best rebounder besides Giannis. He's just been doing all the little things right, and he's really trying to make himself not the low post extinct, quote unquote extinct player that everyone sort of assumed he and other guys like that were. Now we're seeing guys like Enes Kanter, who don't even do those things, still have a lot of value, obviously. But Greg Monroe just becoming a much better all-around player. I really hope they don't trade him. I don't know if they will or not. I mean, they're paying three centers a whole lot of money, but this was the best one on the team right now.
Yeah, I've been really impressed with what he's done so far, and he's a fun player to watch. Like I enjoy his, whatever, his brand of low post moves and something about the old school game. And I'm glad, I guess on a fan level, that he's become a valuable piece of this Bucks team. We've said a lot of good stuff about this Bucks team. How they have their offense is better than expected. Their defense is still, I think, top half of the NBA. And like you think that they're, you know, close to top 10 in the NBA. I definitely think they're, you know, in that conversation. However, their record actually isn't as good as we would anticipate. They're performing underneath their Pythagorean win expected, you know, win total. Like their net rating is good, but they're still kind of hovering around 500. They find themselves a couple games above 500 before this Hawks game going into it. Why do you think that is, that they aren't actually winning as many games as we might think they should based on how good we think they are?
I think there's a few reasons. One of them I talked about a little earlier. I mean, they're young, they're inconsistent. So it takes a little while to learn how to win games. And I mean, we're going to see it again when they make the playoffs this season. I said when. I'm cocky now. but in the playoffs this season, you need to learn how to win there too. It's like a whole nother level. I mean, you look at like every great playoff team gets bounced the year before they make a run because you have to learn like to go play there, you know, win a series or lose a series, win a series, then you can go. I think it's sort of the same with being a good regular season team. Like it's pretty rare for a team to just, you know, assemble and just, unless it's like, you know, the Heatles or this Warriors team, but to just sort of assemble a young team and, you know, win 50 games the first year or near 50 games. You need to learn how to play together, learn how to seal out games, and that like continuity is important. And they've had that the last few years. So I just think that's something that'll come to them. I think they'll be better in the second half than the first half. I don't know how the schedule is. They played a lot of good teams recently and did okay. Like they played two against the Warriors, like three, I think, against the Cavs already, two against the Spurs, and they split those games. So I just think that'll be part of it. Part of it is they sometimes fail to get up for the worst teams. They played good against the Heat, which was reassuring to see because that's just a boring game. I mean, outside of Dragic and Whiteside, they don't really have that many NBA players right now. But that was
Josh certainly. Richardson. Hello.
He's hurt.
I know he's hurt. I'm so sad.
Yeah, he's out. Yeah. He's out. Justice Winslow's out. I like their young players, but they're
my
not
boy Bloodsport, James Johnson, lighting up fantasy.
He is like, there's no one else to take shots. So yeah, it's good for him there. But yeah, those kind of teams like the Magic, like teams like that would give the Bucks trouble because they wouldn't have the same intensity. And I think part of it is they kind of piss off teams. Like we've heard from, I think, the Warriors, the Cavaliers, the Wizards, there's probably more that they're like, oh, they need to calm down. You know, Giannis got 39, not 40. That's what Bradley Beal said. He's like, oh, he missed the free throw. It's not a 40-point game to me. And the Cavaliers were mad about the energy level. I think at least I know last season the Warriors were mad. This season they might be too. And so people don't like them that much. I think that kind of works against them too. Like teams like beating the Bucks. Even though they're not, like you said, they're not great yet, but they're just like real energetic and they get excited easily. Teams kind of get annoyed by that, I guess. So it's a combination of those factors, I think.
Yep. All right. Last question. Most of our, or many of our listeners know that Chris Middleton is my second favorite non-Grizzly in the NBA. Do you think when he comes back, be it either into this year or next year, do you think he slides right in next to Jabari Parker and Giannis? Like he just takes over Tony Snell's role and automatically this team becomes way better?
Well, I think, first off, real quick, who's your first favorite?
Nikola Jokic.
Oh, that's a good. He's my official
NBA head over heels. Can't stop thinking about him.
I was sleeping on him. I looked at some numbers. I watched him play a bit. I was like, oh my God, this guy's really good.
Yeah. But
anyway, we could do a whole pod. Anyway. Well, the first thing, like, he needs to be come back for real. You know, a guy comes back and he's still rusty for a while. I mean, Middleton could come back this season and not really be himself for most of the year. That's just how these things go sometimes. But if we're saying he comes back and, you know, takes a couple games, gets to the level he was at last year, I think they're way better. I mean, you look at Snell's been great for a fill-in. He's scoring 8.4 points per game. You know, you slide Middleton into those minutes, that's 10 more points in the same minutes. He's just like Middleton is you remember because, you know, you like Middleton. A lot of people do. I feel like a lot of people are kind of forgetting just how good he is. I've seen a couple insane Bucks fans say maybe they should just try to trade him right away. They should not. He's fantastic. He made this team work last season. After he got hurt, I said on a podcast, I think they'd struggle to win 35 games. That was me sleeping on Giannis and Jabari, but also me really respecting what Chris Middleton brings. I think they'll be a lot better with him back. Like, he was borderline fringe all-star contender last season. I mean, that you add a guy like that to this team, you know, you're taking minutes away now. Like, Jason Terry can play less, who brings a lot of energy. You know, I like Jason Terry, but he's 39 years old and 6'0" and just not a terrific player at this stage anymore. You know, Tony Snell becomes a bench guy. The big three is back. It's hard not to be excited. Yeah, I think they'll be a lot better. I think here's where I'll get myself in trouble. I think if he comes back healthy, you know, Giannis and Jabari stay healthy next season, this team could flirt with 50 wins. Like, those three are so, so good.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with you, but I get nervous because last year the Bucks were I chose them as my cheat team, like my secondary team to cheer for, and they were and they had that high win total projection, and I abandoned them so quickly. And so then this year, you know, like they're swinging back, they're popular, they're fun, they're like the hipster team, fun team. So now I'm worried if Middleton comes back next year, everyone's going to be so high on him. I'm telling you, Ty, I'm worried I'm going to get hurt again if I jump back on the bandwagon.
I am a little bit too. I think the difference really. The two differences, one is Giannis and Jabari, miles better than they were then. Like, they're just so much better. I mean, these guys are legitimate stars. I mean, Jabari quasi has kept his top 10 in Eastern front court all-star voting right now, too. He deserves to be there. He's really good. But the other thing is the rest of the roster is constructed a lot better. I mean, that team that everyone thought was going to be so good was starting four guys who couldn't shoot. You know, Jabari wasn't shooting real well at the time. Giannis, Michael Carter-Williams, and then Greg Monroe. Like, that's just not a success to win anymore. Now you look at this team and they'd be starting four shooters, Brogdon, Middleton, Jabari, or not four, but three. And then you have your center and then Giannis, who is too good to even need to worry about it, with way better shooters on the bench. I think Kidd's becoming more comfortable and getting a little better at coaching. I think it's easy to see why people are worried. I mean, I'm a little worried too. You know, you never know what's going to happen in the NBA. But I do think the ingredients are here for this to be a much better season than the last one.
Yeah, that sounds good. All right, well, Ty, thanks for your time. Go Packers, go Bucks. Can you tell people you got anything coming up or anything you want to plug?
Yeah, I mean, my podcast is over on the Almighty Ballers Podcast Network now, or Almighty Baller. See, I'm getting the plurals wrong too, just like Behind the Buck Pass.
Right.
But you check me out there. I'll have a new episode up in a few days. Just more good stuff coming. Behind the Buck Pass, I write a lot there. Hoops Habit, I write there a bit. Follow me on Twitter, though, at Ty Windish. Twitter is really like my vanity thing. Every time I get a new follower, I'm excited. I'm trying to get to 1,000 now. I'm at 800-something now. So if you could help me out there, that'd be great.
Go follow Ty. He's a good follow.
Yeah, follow you guys, too. Let's hear your plugs. I know you got some plugs coming. Thanks for having me on, by the way.
Oh, no problem. You know, just follow our Twitter, at FastBreakBreak. Man, that's all you got to do. We'll give you all the good stuff there. Well, thanks, Ty, again. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely, man. Have a good one.
All right. Thanks to Ty for coming back. Always a good guest. You guys, go follow Ty. Let's get Ty to 1,000 Twitter followers at TIWINDISCH, I think. Anyway. He's a good guy. You'll see him when we at him when we announce the show on Twitter. All right, you guys, thanks for listening. Thanks for our new Patreon supporters. If you want to get more of us and support the show, go to Patreon, patreon.com/fastbreakbreakfast. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Fast Break Break. You guys are the best. Thanks for listening. And remember, breakfast is the most important thing.
Yeah, never apologize for being G&G. Fast Break Break, man. You understand?